Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views, finding stories of community and connection. That's how five 20-somethings are spending 2012. In January, the young college grads loaded up in an old bus, and they launched Bus 52. It's a video journalism project that's traveling throughout the 48 contiguous states collecting stories. And these stories are meant to inspire. Bus 52 is now in Salt Lake City. Today on the program, three of the teammates join us to talk about their multimedia adventure. In studio with us this hour, Robert Gelb, Amy Chin, and Amy Wallace. And welcome to all of you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Later on in the program, we shift to surf music and Salt Lake's connection to surf music. But first, Bus 52. Do you think there's a lack of good news in today's media? If you have questions or comments about the Bus 52 project, you can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Before we get into the project and your adventures thus far, tell us a bit about life before Bus 52. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to college? What did you study? Did you travel a lot before this bus ride? Let's start with you, Amy Wallace.
I grew up in Belgium, and just before Bus 52, I graduated from the University of St Andrews in Scotland with a degree in English literature. And I had been to the US a few times, but mainly just to the East Coast and once to California. So I'd never seen nearly as much as I'm seeing this year.
Okay. Amy Chin?
I am from Houston, Texas, and I studied public communication at American University. But I did travel quite a bit growing up. My family's from all over the country, and we've lived in quite a few places. So been all up and down the Eastern Seaboard and the Gulf Coast and out west a couple times. So this is great to kind of get a different feel for the country.
And Robert Gelb.
I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., in Bethesda, Maryland. And I also attended university at St. Andrews up in Scotland. I've been traveling to quite a bit in terms of the coasts, but not really much in between, and to the south, southwest, and Midwest. And so I was really excited to get that going. And then the two others that are on board, they're also ones from Virginia and ones from Bethesda as well in Maryland.
From different places, different interests, different majors. How did you guys all hook up with each other? Robert Gelb?
The whole process started about 2 years ago, and three of the five of us knew each other beforehand. Amy Wallace, Chris Simon, and me. We knew each other beforehand, and we actually had an application process where Amy Rose, Amy Chin, and Stephen Hasher, our film director of photography, they actually applied, and we brought them on in December. So it was a bit of a risk, you know, taking on two people that you've never met. But that's how we all got together. It's worked out really well so far.
So whose idea was this to spend a year traveling around the country finding good news stories?
It was originally my idea. As I said, about 2 years ago, thinking what did I want to do after university, and you started to see a lot more negativity on the news than beforehand, and so I just wanted to kind of come up with a way of both being able to see the country, but also being able to show that no matter where you are, there is really good stuff happening wherever you go, and just to try and provide an excuse to showcase that good news.
So it's primarily dedicated to good news. What are the criteria? What does good news mean to you, Amy Wallace?
To me, it means something that is making a difference in people's lives for the good. And some of the people we've met have all been doing something that has changed people's lives, brought a smile to their day, or that has actually made a very, very significant difference. We've seen people who have opened soup kitchens for the homeless, and we've seen people who hang swings in the middle of parks. So while they're both very different stories, they all bring a smile to people's lives and make a difference.
Amy Chin, is this journalism?
Yeah, I think that we make short documentary films, and we try to share, let them use their own voice to tell the story. So I guess it's maybe a little bit different, but we try to give them an avenue to express themselves that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. We try to find things that you might not hear about in normal media. stories that are a little bit different, a little unique, but very meaningful.
Uh-huh. Robert?
It's also important that we're not necessarily about, you know, not highlighting the bad news or the challenges. A lot of our stories are rooted in very difficult circumstances and very difficult challenges. And while it's not a hard-hitting interview, if you will, highlighting the ability for someone to overcome adversity and make a difference many times in ways that they never imagined. I would certainly consider that journalism and things that, you know, people would like to read and listen to and watch.
But is it bordering on activism? I mean, you do have an agenda. You want to get the good news out there.
Yes. We aren't, in terms of activism, our main purpose, our main mission is to highlight the fact that it doesn't take very much for you to get involved in your own community, and hopefully we can inspire others to get involved in their own. So in a certain sense, that is an agenda. But we also do want to have people be informed about all of the news that's going on. I think that could be said for a lot of journalists as well. We are a nonprofit. We're not a news organization. We're, 501c3, so we are nonpartisan, nonpolitical, nonreligious. But at the same time, I think that if you watch our stories, you can see that while the agenda is there to highlight the stories and give them coverage, the stories themselves present very different ideas of what's going on.
Speaking with Robert Gelb, Amy Chin, and Amy Wallace from the Bus 52 Project. It's driving across the nation, collecting and sharing inspiring stories. The bus has pulled into Salt Lake City and has been in Utah for the week. 801-355-TALK is our number if you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments about the project. 801-355-8255. Talk about how you find the stories, how you decide what you'll produce, if you have editorial meetings. I'm just curious about the process. Amy Chin?
Well, we have a research team out in Scotland at the University of St. Andrews that finds our stories, and they come through local newspapers, local news sources. They do Google searches, they use crazy search engines, and they just try to find these people. And they share them all with us on the bus, and we kind of take into account where they are, what they're doing, and how it fits into our schedule, and whether or not we can meet with them. So all of us kind of come together and talk about these are the ones that we really like and we really think are unique and that fit best with our lives and our schedules.
Do you kind of go with your gut, or do you have a criteria like, you know, this group needs to meet such and such, you know, it's reaching so many people, or it's got a budget of this, or, you know, it must have a really charismatic, dynamic person at the center? Amy Wallace?
We don't have a checklist as such. We do very much, when we see a story that we think has affected us and is genuinely affecting other people, the other things that might be on a checklist just naturally, you can naturally think about those things. You don't have to sit going through number one, number two, number three. It's very much more of a, how do we feel these people are impacting other people's lives, and will that come across well on our pieces?
Mm-hmm. Are people sending you ideas outside of your research team, Robert Gelb?
Yeah, we do get some people writing in. A lot of times, it's writing in after the fact that we've been there, unfortunately. But there've been such great stories that we're going to start to write, you know, independent articles about some of these projects that maybe we weren't able to cover, but we still think should be heard. Just speaking on criteria, aside from the fact that because we're a nonprofit, we can't do anything that is political or that has a religious, an overtly a religious agenda, those are really the two things that limit us. So if a story is quirky, if a story meets with our timing, we try as hard as we can to make sure it fits.
You started your journey in Bethesda, Maryland back in January. I want to play a clip from a story that you produced out of Jessup, Maryland, called Knitting Behind Bars. Before we listen to the clip, anybody want to set it up for us? How'd you find this story, Amy Wallace?
We found it because we were looking on just news sites, and Robert found it. And we thought we have to do this story, which is about two retired women who go into a men's prison in Maryland, and they teach the inmates how to knit. And as a knitter myself, I thought this was a really interesting concept, because you don't associate men with knitting, let alone inmates with knitting. So we went in and saw how they teach them to knit.
All right. Well, let's listen to this excerpt from your video that you produced. This is Knitters Behind Bars.
And I told her I'm really doing knitting. She started laughing, really. I told her, don't laugh at me. We'll make her a little sweater by the time I come home.
Many of the guys make hats for children or nieces or mothers or grandmothers or wives or girlfriends, people that they have hurt. And we have encouraged them to give these hats to those people.
Unless we change our attitudes, and unless we change the manner in which we deal with these people returning to society, we are only building this them and us society, which has got to be very dangerous. These young, these men, some of them not so young, are eager to enter back in society. They would like to become us, and it is my goal for that us to be all inclusive.
That's from the video produced by Bus 52 Knitters Behind Bars. A really interesting idea, and you're right, Amy Wallace. I mean, it pairs these two very different populations, criminals and knitters. What were your impressions going into the cell and actually seeing people participate in this activity? Amy Chin?
Yeah, Amy and I both went to the actual knitting session, and it was a bit intimidating, to say the least, driving up to a prison with the big fences and the wire and all that. But
had you been in a prison before?
Never been in a prison before. None of us had. So it was a very interesting experience. And once we got there, I think we were all a little anxious, but we met Lynn and Sheila, and they put us at ease, like almost immediately, like, oh, we've been here. The guys are great. You're going to have a nice time. So we walked in, went through security, which was, again, a little bit like, what are we doing? But once we were in there, it was so much fun. I think Amy and I didn't want to leave because they were so friendly and so nice. And it was just amazing to see, I don't know, they talked about how once they got into that atmosphere, they were completely different men and that they really felt like themselves and that they opened up. And anyway, I think they were just happy to have company, too. So it was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
At the end of that clip, one of the organizers, the retired woman, you know, says that she hopes to change perceptions. Is that part of your goal as well, as part of the Bus 52, to kind of give people a different take on the realities out there? Robert Gild?
I don't think necessarily our goal is to make people, is to change people's opinions. I think that isn't our goal at all. It's more to highlight what is going on and what assistance certain projects and people can be giving to aspects of society that maybe you don't really think about very often. You know, the Lynn and Sheila don't go into prison because they're wanting to change the way other people look at the prisoners. They're going in to try and help the prisoners, you know, come to a sense of calm and be able to work through their own issues themselves. And so, no, we're not out to change people's perceptions, but we are out to maybe highlight the fact that things like this exist.
We're speaking with Robert Gelb, Amy Chin, and Amy Wallace from the Bus 52 Project, talking about stories of hope and optimism with three of the five young people riding cross-country to find those stories. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Today on the program, Bus 52 is in town. It's a cross-country, year-long multimedia project that, to find out what's right in America. They're in Salt Lake City this week, and you can join our conversation if you like. What good news stories do you think are missing from the local headlines? Who are the champions doing good things in your neighborhood? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. In studio, Robert Gelb, Amy Chin, Amy Wallace, three of the five people traveling in this bus across the country. And describe the bus. I think you've named it Stanley. Is that right, Amy Chin?
Yes. Yeah, so Stanley is our big blue Good News school bus. He's a converted bus. We bought him partially converted off Craigslist from a family in Texas. And he's pretty cozy. He's 40 feet long, and the five of us all live in him. He's got bunk beds and a kitchen, everything.
Okay. How are you still getting along? you've been on the road since January. Robert Gill.
Well, we haven't managed to kill each other yet, so that's always a good thing. And I think that that's actually been a really surprising bit. I would have thought that five people crammed into an old school bus with not a lot of luxury would be difficult in its own right. And then add that to the fact that we have deadlines and we have research, we have media, all sorts of kind of additional stresses. And then having two people that don't know anybody else, and three of us who don't know, two of the five people on starting out. You have all this stuff together in this cauldron that should mean that a lot of stuff should go wrong, but it's worked so far. We've been pretty good in taking stresses, letting them be known, and kind of working through them.
It sounds like a reality show. I'm glad it's not Breaking Bad yet. You rolled into Utah over the weekend. Impressions of our beautiful state here?
I think it's beautiful. It's not a state that I'd ever really heard very much about, apart from, I know, the Winter Olympics were here. But it's stunning. Salt Lake City with the mountains in the background is just something I've never seen before. Scotland has some mountains, but nothing like this. So,
what stories have you found in Utah?
Yesterday, we filmed I Care for Kids, which is an organization that helps youth have access to eye care. And they have a mobile vehicle called Seymour, yeah, who they take out to reservations and different communities around Utah.
Their mission is to make sure that kids, no matter where they come from or what kind of family circumstance they're in, have access to glasses if they need them, checkups and things like that. That is usually a very expensive thing for families to afford, but also depends a lot on distance. So their Seymour, Seemore, vehicle is quite a help.
And are you producing a single story in the places where you stop, or multiple stories? And you say you have deadlines. I mean, what are the pressures, and what's your volume?
Because we're doing trying to get through all 48 states, we want to do about 100 stories. So we're doing two per state, and usually they're in different places. But we release the stories every Tuesday and Thursday, so those are our very set deadlines. So we need to make sure that we have all our stories filmed and edited and uploaded and ready to go before they need to go out.
We work on a bit of a delay. So right now, our most recent story, the one in Salt Lake City, will be on June 7th. So we work a bit ahead of time so that we can make sure that if one week we can't find or if we break down or anything like that, that we still make sure that the stories go up.
Great. Speaking of technology, you are taking full advantage of all of the technology platforms out there. Talk about the various media ways you're getting your stories out there. Amy Chin?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun on social media, you could say. We put our stories up on our website, but the videos are on YouTube, and then we're also on Twitter and Facebook, Foursquare, Pinterest, Instagram. We try to get it out there any way we can to anyone who's willing to listen.
I want to play a clip from, this is a story that you produced out of Birmingham, Alabama. It's about skateboarding for kids with autism. An interesting idea. How did you find this story, Robert Gelb?
I think this was another one that was found for us by our crack research team. They found it for us, and we just thought that it just sounded so amazing. The uniqueness about this story is, of course, taking an activity like skateboarding that a lot of people consider dangerous and might consider it a bit of counterculture, and pairing it up with autism. And the success of it has been just so overwhelming that it's pretty impressive to see the results.
This is a clip from A-Skate on the Bus 52 website.
Would you be interested? Totally down to do it. From when we first started of having three or four kids show up, today we have 25 kids here, and you can pretty well, you do this all over the country. It could be this way all over the world.
an abbreviated clip. That's from A-Skate, produced by the Bus 52 Project. Again, bringing these great ideas to the forefront, letting people know what's... I mean, these are creative ideas. And as this gentleman says, you know, they can be transferable in some ways. Amy Chin?
Definitely. I think that we meet these people who have these crazy ideas who I'm sure when they first thought of them thought, there's no way this is going to work out. But they commit themselves and their lives and all their energies and passion to these crazy ideas, and they make an amazing impact on the people that they're able to reach. And we've had stories where they, A-Skate in particular, they have started spreading, and she's helped people lead seminars abroad, I think, on teaching kids how to skate with autism. And yeah, I think that it's inspiring for anyone. You can look at it and say, how did they do that? And they just worked a lot.
Talking with three of the members of Bus 52, it's a project that is driving across the nation, collecting and posting inspiring stories. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. Let's go to the phones. Marie is joining us from Salt Lake City. Marie, hi.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
My question is, I was wondering when you finished this project, if you had any tentative plans to do either a book or a full-length documentary film. We here in Salt Lake, of course, are interested in documentary films because we live so close to where Sundance happens every year. So it just seems like it has a lot of good fodder for turning into something like that. And I was wondering if you had any plans for that.
Interesting question, Marie. Thanks very much for the call. Bus 52, what do you think? Robert
Gelb? Of course, that would be wonderful if we can, and we do certainly have that in mind, or keep that in mind when we are shooting. We shoot a lot more around a story than the piece that you see, but we are a nonprofit, and we do need to make sure that we're funded up through the end of the year. So if we do have the funding, then that is a goal for us to then produce a much larger kind of full-length documentary, and then any other kind of media that we can to showcase the trip and showcase the stories.
You know, that's an interesting question, the funding part of this. I mean, a lot of recent college graduates are swimming in debt, trying to figure out how to pay off those student loans. How are you paying for this? Amy Wallace?
Well, we started fundraising about 2 years ago. As soon as Robert had the idea, we wrote to hundreds, if not thousands, of companies. And for every 100 letters you get back, you get one back that says no. And then for every 1,000 you send, you get one back that says yes. So we're funded entirely by donations. And we have some corporate sponsors and some individual donors. So it's been hard work, but... we're fully funded through July at the moment.
And what's the budget?
The entire year budget was about $80,000 in terms of from start to finish.
You guys are living frugally.
Yeah. We'd raised about $80,000. We need about 20 to 25 to finish. We did want to make sure that this was done correctly. It wasn't going to just be a road trip that a whole bunch of college kids were going on, so we did take the time and set it up as a 501c3, so a federally recognized nonprofit, we wanted to get some sponsors on board just to both fund our way and also to give it some legitimacy, we have some pretty well known ones, so like Stanley Black & Decker is probably our largest one, and we also have some sponsors that give us in kind donations. So one sponsor named Mingo Wireless provides us with cell phones and data so that we can upload our pieces. So different kinds of benefits for different kinds of sponsors.
How often are the breakdowns happening on the bus? I mean, the bus is not
exactly
brand new, shiny, you know, cruise liner. It's a little clunky. It's cute. I mean, it's definitely a bright blue that's perky, but tell us about the mechanical hurdles you've had to deal with, Amy Chin.
Yeah, he's a good-looking bus, but he's 1984, and I would say he's broken down like once a month, every 3 weeks or so. We broke down in Key West, and had to get towed to Miami. So we've had some interesting challenges with the mechanics. None of us are mechanics. So
maybe you should have thought of that.
We probably should have.
Bus 52 is with us. Robert Gale, Baby Chin, Amy Wallace. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. This email from Leslie, she says, I'm wondering if you'd take Bus 52 overseas and see what the good stuff happens over there. Any thoughts about expanding your journey, or or does the thought of the next 6 months make you tired? Robert Gelb?
I mean, I think we're focused on making sure that we can finish the project with the same amount of quality and amount of pieces that we were aiming to do at the beginning. So our immediate thoughts are just finishing this project. But, you know, I mean, we have set it up as a nonprofit. Maybe, you know, in the future we might be able to get another group of crazy college kids to take it overseas, or some people with just as much as energy that we have. But so, yeah, I mean, I'd love it. I'd love to go all over the world.
I want to play another clip. This is a project that you actually mentioned earlier, Amy Wallace. This is Tampa Bay Swings. And tell us just a little bit about this project, how you found it.
We found it by our research team, again, that we have a very, very efficient research team. But it's
too bad they're not on the trip with you.
It's two very young guys about our age who decided that they wanted to bring some smiles to their community. And so they cut planks of wood into swing length, and they get community members to paint them at farmers markets, and they take them to studios, and they get children to paint them, and then they just hang them on trees and lampposts and signs and anything they
overpasses.
Can find yeah, everywhere across St. Petersburg, and they just love it. They have a great time, and people come together across, you know, sit on the swings and they talk and they wonder why there's a swing hanging from a tree.
Let's take a listen.
Not only is it so simple, it gets everyone on the same level. Like, everyone knows what a swing is, everyone knows how to have fun. So it kind of gets everyone on that same base level to communicate. There's the traditional hanging out, which is going around and having fun with friends, and then there's the Swings Tampa Bay hanging out, which is going around and hanging swings with friends.
My name's Hunter. I'm a co-founder of Swings Tampa Bay.
And I'm Ruben Pressman, and we run Swings Tampa Bay. It's a spontaneous community building organization, and we hang handmade swings all over Tampa Bay in the middle of the night.
It was initially an idea I had for an environmental design project in school, and we tried it on campus at USF St. Petersburg, and we noticed how effective it was, like how many students came and flocked to it. I think one thing we noticed about our city and most cities is that people just walk right by each other and don't even notice each other, don't ask how you're doing or anything. And if the swing does it for you, you know, things can evolve easier from there, I think. So.
That's from Bus 52, one of their videos, Tampa Bay Swings. A lot of the projects that you highlight seem to have this creative or artistic bent to them. What have you learned as you've gone out there and talked to people about creativity, about innovation? Amy Chin?
Well, creativity comes in all forms for all different kinds of people. It's not just someone who can pick up a paintbrush and really express themselves that way. People are doing it all kinds of ways everywhere we go. There's a man who started an organization who will be releasing a story on this week, who takes kids in really nice cars and like Lamborghinis to their doctor's appointments who are potentially very ill. And that's a form of creativity, to be able to think, what can I do to help someone, and come up with an answer that's so special and so unique that it really makes an impact on the life of the person you're trying to touch.
What were your personal goals going into this? I know that, you know, you had this kind of group idealism. We want to get good stories out there. But what do you hope to get from this experience on a personal level? Robert Gelb?
I think that the chance to be able to see the country in full, just as a way to do that, obviously is there. I have to say that my personal goal at the beginning was to see if something like this could work. If we could develop a recipe and carry it through, and I think that it has. And so far, I mean, you know, I've been astounded every day that we've been able to keep going and that we haven't broken down. And I can now change an alternator belt. I couldn't do that before. but that chance to be able to produce something and to see it through, and then not realizing just how much of an effect these people with so much energy and that do stuff that in so many harsher circumstances than I'm used to, that is inspiring. You can't really get away from that. So I think that's overridden everything else.
What do your parents think of this adventure? Amy Chin?
When I first told my mom I was going to live on a bus for a year, she was like, no, you're not. I think she's come around to the idea now. My dad loves it, but my mom was very hesitant at first, I think, to let me live on a bus with four strangers.
And your personal goal for this journey, why did you sign up?
I love people. I'm a people person down to the core. And so I just loved the idea of being able to meet hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are just amazing. I think it's been that was my goal. It's just I love meeting people, and being able to understand people better and understand the world better was kind of exciting.
Amy Wallace?
I'm sort of the opposite of Amy Chin. I'm very much an introvert, and I've always found myself less than confident around people. So I wanted to push myself. I wanted to become better at talking to people I've never met before and better at interacting with people. Not that I would sit in my bed all day and not talk to people, but I want to become a person, and I have changed. And that personal goal already, we're all changing. We're all learning things. We're all pushing ourselves harder than I think we ever thought we would.
You're 5 months into the project. You're almost halfway at this point. Does it feel like it's lagging, or do you feel like the time is just sweeping right by, Robert Guild?
No, I think very much sweeping right by as fast as it can go, which is discouraging because you get into a place and you really want to sit and explore it and do so many more stories than you're able to do. And I keep thinking that, oh, well, last week we pulled out of Bethesda, or so what's next? And then it jiggers back that we're already five months in. So I both can't wait for the next half, but am really missing all the states that we've been in already. So at least it's shown me that all on my list are states that I want to go back to and places I want to see again. So that's good.
Highlights for you, Amy Chin?
It's just been amazing getting to know each other. We feel like we've known each other forever, but we haven't known each other very long at all. But we've just had some great, and I think one of the things I've enjoyed is I've got to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen in like 5, 10 years. In every state, I have a friend that I have to go see. So it's been amazing to reconnect with those people and connect with the people I'm with.
What does this project say about your generation, do you think? Anything?
I think it says that if you have an idea and you want to make it work, you can. Nowadays, with technology the way it is, you can really make things happen. We wouldn't have been able to do this 10, 15 years ago. And with the technology in terms of filming and in the editing equipment and in the uploading and our social media, we can make more of an impact than we would have been able to do 10 years ago.
A lot of people and a lot of more older people that we've talked to point to this as a bit of a crutch on our shoulder, that a lot of young people today they feel are very lazy. And so part of our mission that we've had to take on is to kind of show that that's not the case. The ability for us to get not only ourselves involved but our friends involved to get the word out. That's a challenge. It's a real challenge, especially if you're not working from an established organization or anything like that. So I think it says that we're not all lazy.
Robert Gelb and Amy Chin and Amy Wallace are with us from Bus 52, which is crossing the country in a big old blue school bus, sharing inspiring stories. And thanks very much for your time, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck on the rest of your journey. Next up, we turn to surf music and the connection here in Salt Lake City. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.